So as we've been going over already this morning with our lighting of the Advent candle, excitedly getting into some familiar Christmas carols and hymns, we are entering into the Advent season. And I really appreciated the candle lighting that Robin and Bill led us in today. Really profound words about hope there that hopefully I'll echo some decently well. And I encourage all of you to look at a post that Robin did on our Facebook page to help usher us into the Advent season as well. And I know that there will be many more compelling Advent candle reflections for us throughout the season from folks as well. And we're also anticipating, you may not realize it automatically or not, but the Christmas pageant coming up. That's a wonderful tradition for our church. We've got a setup that's helping their rehearsals, and things are looking a little bit different, but still wonderful for our worship together. And I know I am anticipating that with a lot of excitement myself. And so I know it's a little bit different, but I'm up here preaching from the pulpit. And I'll say that that is especially good for symbolism of the Advent season in particular. We may not all realize this, but the pulpit has traditionally been set up as a place that is a little bit higher than the congregation and symbolizes a sense of the Word of God coming from on high through whoever is preaching into the congregation. And that's beautiful symbolism, but also sometimes maybe that can have us feel, and there even within, let's say, our congregational community church traditions, people who have felt a little bit unsure of pulpits all the time, because does that give us a sense that God is far off? That we are waiting for God to show up and be completely within our midst. That the Word of God somehow has a barrier to be able to come in the midst of our lives and what we're experiencing. And it's true that that's part of what we are feeling and helping ourselves get in touch with during the season of Advent. Is those parts of our lives where we are waiting still for the strong experience of God's light to break in, where we might have longing or frustration or struggle. And our first move in response to that sense that perhaps God is still slightly far off from where we're able to notice is to have hope that God will come near and help intimately in those longings and struggles. I think that we have plenty of things probably that any of us can relate to during this season, of feeling that strong sense of hope and longing. I know one of the first things that Wendy did, I believe on Friday when I woke up, was ask me if I'd seen the news and mentioned that there was another COVID variant that was getting a lot of coverage and spreading around. And we've been through almost 2 years now of feeling like our lives are interrupted, of worrying about ourselves and our loved ones and their health, of what it's like to get through all the mitigations with kids in difficult school circumstances, of not being able to visit people in a way that we might like to, and all of those things. In a big picture way, all of us probably feel a strong sense of longing during this season. We probably have plenty of personal things that are either very immediate or have been lingering with us for a while as well. But I was also reminded this weekend that 2 years feels like a long time, but there are also waits and longings that can be even longer than that. You know, many of us felt very frustrated by the Ohio State game yesterday. I experienced it a little bit differently because I have a sister-in-law who's a big Michigan fan. So we always try to be nice to her normally during this time of year. And she was gracious enough to be nice to us yesterday as well. But to some degree, that sense of like long suffering and waiting and hoping was in her very reaction. Even as the clock was ticking down the last few seconds and Michigan had a pretty good lead, she was texting, but I never get my hope up all the way because things could go wrong. And then when the whistle blew, she only texted that sense of time and waiting. She just said, it's been 10 years. 10 years. So, comparatively, 2 years of waiting for something, not minimizing it. But we know that that time can build up. We're reminded during the Thanksgiving season how time can build up. We're looking back 400 years, in that case, of people trying to carve out a life. And even with the hope, especially, not just having a survival, but being a city on a hill, having values and principles behind what they were doing. And so this holiday gives us a chance to be thankful for how some of those values are being worked out still today and how we get to carry on in that legacy. But it also reminds us of hopes unfulfilled. And that's true for many people throughout that complicated 400-year history. And we're reminded of that especially because we celebrate the coming together of two peoples at Thanksgiving. But if we look very carefully, we know that half of those featured characters, the indigenous people, are sadly largely missing from American culture and life today. As we begin the season of Advent this morning, anticipating the arrival of God on earth in the person of Jesus, we are faced with an even longer period for this week's Advent theme, hope, and how people have persevered through that time. Our passage from Jeremiah today comes at a time that's almost 600 years before the birth of Jesus, when God's people were facing being conquered and torn away from their homes, and perhaps wondering if they would survive. Advent is a really powerful season for us to have in our life of faith. So often today we're encouraged to just rush ahead and get to a really big celebration, or that we have to feel extra happy and celebratory for as long as possible. And if that's not how we're inclined to feel while something is happening, then we worry that we might be a downer or messing things up for other people. But Advent is a chance for us to have the full spectrum of our experience and all of our emotions given room before God. You don't have to pretend or deny about anything. God acknowledges, God accepts, God walks with us in all of our longings, all of our waitings, all of our frustrations and doubts and struggles. And also reminds us that those things are not the final word for our lives. We know that God in fullness is coming. And that gives us plenty to have to celebrate in its time. But God is also with us in whatever else that we're experiencing. And we're given the gift of hope, peace, joy, and love in the midst of even our longing and struggle. And that's amazingly meaningful for us to experience too, if we won't rush past it. So in the next few weeks, I encourage you to be in touch with the parts of your life that feel like they are still needing God to really break into. Where darkness is looking for light, where confusion is looking for inspiration, where pain is looking for comfort, or struggle is looking for solution. We'll be in good company for this with the scriptures that we'll read each week. We will be following the lectionary with at least one scripture each week. And so if you'd like to see those and look ahead, you can, because we'll have some wonderful and powerful themes for this season. Now maybe you can't wait for next year to get the rivalry back on your side. Maybe you're doing your best. Just hang in there as each new prospect of parts of our life being interrupted by illness and death and the prevention measures against them. And you're just feeling worn out and wondering when you'll stop worrying. Maybe you're looking for a society to fully match its long promise and ensure a thriving life for everyone instead of just a special few. You're wondering if we can learn how to really work together on that instead of just getting sucked into tearing each other down in petty and selfish ways. Maybe you have something more personal, but it's no less important. And I'm sure it's been incredibly difficult of a burden to bear. But you're waiting for God to walk with you through it. So we're all wondering, in any of those circumstances, how does hope come to give meaning to this challenging time? I'll be honest, it may not be what we first expect, but it's still incredibly powerful, and we can see it in our scripture verses today. As I said, the Jeremiah passage that we have is one of the first prophetic passages that people now see as anticipating Jesus, because it's referring to a descendant of King David. And if we remember, Joseph came from the house and line of David. Maybe you can picture Linus saying Luke 2 in your head from Charlie Brown Christmas. And so Jesus is seen as that descendant that comes and restores good and peaceful life for God's people. And these promises and the hope that they offer, we have to remember, are spoken as problems and times are as dark as they could possibly be. The prophets have been telling the people of Judah that they are far off from the way that God hopes that they would live, and that that is bringing about judgment. That if you're going to walk away from God's ways, that you'll inevitably take yourself away from the blessing that God infuses to God's ways and God's values. And so that means that they're about to be conquered by a foreign power, the Babylonians, and carried off. And so their land is going to become desolate, as it says, not even with people or animals in it. And so in such circumstance, again, you would wonder not just are you ever going to get back to the life that you have wanted, but are you going to be able to survive at all? And then, by the way, even 600 years later, what the expectations were is not what God ultimately fulfilled. People assumed that these passages at the time were referring to a military conqueror or an ethnic royal leader. But Jesus didn't try to be either of those things. His ministry actually specifically tried to take people's hope away from those things as solutions, and instead lead us toward ways of treating each other as ultimately desired by God. And that was even spoken in the prophets like Jeremiah, to be full of love and service and grace and justice for each other. And so that leaves us in kind of a strange place as we look at Jeremiah and the other prophets of the Old Testament talking about Jesus. Because are we supposed to conclude that that is a hope unfulfilled? It's a hard definition of hope to live with. A lot of people just get told something and it sounds really good, but apparently does it actually never happen to them? Imagine 600 years. That's more than two full histories of the United States. There's some glimpses of better times, but it's still all pretty much under the control of different empires mistreating them, stuck in cycles of rebellion and oppression, wondering how will we ever get out of this and into what God said would be best and that God promised. I don't know for sure how well I would do thinking of just being a person who got to hear about something but never fully experienced it. I don't know if I have that type of hope for sure, to be honest. We have to remember, too, that some aspect of this continued into our New Testament reading today with Paul. He also had a lot of suffering and struggle in his life, even as he followed Jesus, even as he got to have a vision of Jesus after Jesus' death. Even as he was ministering for the gospel, he spent almost half of his life of that ministry on the run, in prison, getting beat up, shipwrecked, whatever it might be. And so he's very conscious of how the world cannot be at its best, and yet God is in our midst. And not only that, not just how the world is not at its best, and we still get to conceive of ourselves as the heroes of our own story, but that we often have times that we are not at our best. As he said, at the time, even when we were powerless, even when we were ungodly, even when we were not the good people that God wanted, God came to embody us with hope. And he's confident then that hope is still at the center of the experience of the people of God, even in the midst of all of that longing and struggle and suffering. Paul gives us especially a really meaningful insight, a remarkable one, about hope for anything that we might face. Because he says that we don't experience bad times and just hope that good times will come eventually, or that they'll come for someone else that we're related to or connected to in some way in far-off space and time. But rather, hope is the power that God forms in us through struggle. And it pushes us up, and it pushes us through difficulty. And that it enables us to see not light at the end of a dark tunnel, but it brings light, meaning, and love to any darkness right in the middle of it, not at the end. Because Paul does not seem to hope in the alleviation of struggle, says that that will form hope, but rather that we would be able to exist with God in struggle. He isn't looking for a way out because he knows that whatever situation he will be in will be transformed by God. If churches are in conflict with him or one another, they'll get to pause and pursue more deeply God's truth and then find their way to experiences of reconciliation. If he gets arrested, then some jailers and soldiers will just get to experience the love of God and have their lives changed. If you get sick or injured, you may be healed. Or you may also just find fellowship with others who have experienced that before. And those who are willing to offer care. And so, when we take on Paul's perspective, we see that 600 years of people in Judah waiting for Jesus could also live in the fullness of hope. Because in being conquered, they didn't lose their identity or just exist as defeated people. God walked with them, so their allegiance to God did not waver. Rather, it grew, and their understanding of God expanded. It was in this season that the Jewish people first came to understand that God's presence could be with them, not just in the temple, but throughout all creation. Like we saw with Daniel last week, their wisdom impacted the cultures around them so that even oppressive empires could have moments and glimpses of justice because of the influence of God's values. And they were willing to conceive of a world where peace and prosperity could be shared with all people through God, instead of just fought over and hoarded by the most imposing conqueror. Again, the prophets that speak most of the arrival of Jesus, they also speak most of how God will bring all people under God's loving care and reign, and not just one ethnic group. So God offers us the same perspective and opportunity for holistic and truly good life, no matter what situations we face. Hope fulfilled is not about bringing about the end of struggle. Hope is fulfilled when we can go through anything because we know that struggle cannot have the final word about who we are or what we will choose to do. Life in God is not defined by everything always being great. It's about God helping us live greatly for each other and those around us. Through God, even when things are at their worst, and even when we could be at our worst, hope helps us go through struggle when we might have decided to just avoid difficulty. And then a worthy thing can come out of that, even if it's something that seems like it could only have been bad. Hope helps us know that we are never without love and grace and goodness, even when we seem at our worst, because God will be with us through anything and give us what we need. And even when others tell us that we are irredeemable or worthless. So whatever we're experiencing right now, will we be open to living in God's hope so that we would be willing to live even in challenging circumstances? Because those are the things that might in fact include the fullness of God's kingdom that is best for all of creation. One of the ways that I got most inspired by this at an earlier time in my life and thinking about how do you live in hope even if it seems like there's some cost to it or there's some difficulty. And this kind of sounds a little bit weird. You may remember a few weeks ago I told a story of a friend of mine who was wearing a soccer jersey that had a Chevy advertisement on it. And they were the shirt sponsor and some things like that. And it's true that soccer teams in particular all over the world have really bought into the idea of getting a company to pay you a bunch of money put their logo on your shirt. And probably a lot of us think that would be a little bit weird for American sport to hold some of those things kind of sacrosanct. And there's one team in particular called Barcelona, in Barcelona, Spain. And they have a saying called more than a club. So they say that they aspire to not just be a business or not just be a soccer team, be something that really connects to their whole community. And there's connections to that back through being in Catalonia and fighting against the fascist Franco regime in Spain, and that regime being kind of associated with their rivals in Madrid. And so they wanted to not just be like, we go in with a dictator and just go along with that to get along. We want to be something different. And so for a long time, they were the only club around the world that did not have a shirt sponsor at all. They wanted to just be about their values. And then, they finally decided that they would have a sponsor, but they did something different. I thought this was really amazing and beautiful. They paid UNICEF to have UNICEF's logo on their shirt so that they could bring awareness to people helping children all around the world. So they forgot, they let go of taking on money and did something that they thought would help others around them. That's really beautiful. It's something that I found, and maybe you find it inspiring too, the idea that we hope in something bigger than ourselves, we connect to values deeper than the things around us, so even if there's a cost, we know we're about something better. Now sadly, Barcelona didn't hold to that for too long. Even as they were doing that, their president was telling their stockholders, don't worry, this is making us seem really great, so we're going to sell more shirts than everyone, because everyone thinks it's so great that we're not proud to sell shirts. So there's a cynical angle to it from the beginning. And now they've decided to go away from that, and they're sponsored by Qatar, which is going to host the next World Cup, and unfortunately basically using slave labor to build the stadiums. But they're advertising with other soccer teams to try to make people feel good about them. And so I see that in hope, God is calling me to be like the UNICEF Barcelona. I believe that that's truly the best way to be. And I hope that I don't end up selling out like they did very often. I probably do sometimes, but I hope it's not all the time. Even more than that, knowing that hope is not about staying far off. It's about getting right in the middle of things. That God's hope shows, I don't stay away. Get right in the midst of even the things that are most difficult. Maybe that can help me and all of us do the same thing. I hope to be hopeful enough to get right into the middle of things. Maybe even entering into right and necessary struggles. Because I'll know that God will carry me to persevere through. That there's a fullness of life I can experience by doing that that's worth it. Even if it does involve cost and difficulty. Because I can see that God's best life for all creation will come, and that's better than just my comfort or familiarity or favorite things. And so I also hope for a hope-filled Advent for all of us. May we aim not to fight to get everything that we want, but to open ourselves up so that we will want what God wants for everyone. May we not just anticipate the end of the ways that our lives have been interrupted. We also find ways to learn how to transform how we treat each other in every circumstance, every safety guideline, or whatever else that we end up finding ourselves in now or who knows for how long. So may we find peace, joy, and love walking in all things, even struggle, together. Because of the life that we find in facing all things empowered by God's hope. May that give us strength, no matter what. We'll enter into that spirit together, offering all of ourselves, even when we don't know what is coming, as our offering is prayed for.